Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time, $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's S-E-E-W-H-Y.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. I have a new picture of Penny to tweet and share on Facebook a little bit later on. I won't do it during the show because then you'll stop paying attention to anything that I have to say. But who doesn't need a happy doggo picture to get you through the hump day? For us, it's a hump show, middle show of the work week. Thank you for all your questions. As part of Ask Amy Anything, I have already gone through half of them on Facebook and are answering them even while we were during the break. So I will do that over the course of Wednesday on both Twitter and Facebook. I will answer as many questions as I can quickly. The ones that require a full blog post or a diatribe, I won't get to those on Facebook or Twitter. But I do appreciate that there are so many new questions even now. And we were going to do a video edition of Ask Amy Anything this week, but actually we have to pivot because guess what happens this time tomorrow? The latest Chubby Bunny World Championship will take place in the final hour of our show on Thursday morning, 5:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 2:20 a.m. Pacific Time. We will, hopefully, no one will die. We will go through all the guts and glory of the Chubby Bunny World Championship live on the radio. And then, because Billy will be filming it, not long after that, it will pop up on our YouTube channel. So you'll get to see us, which generally means me puking up or spitting up the marshmallows. Up-chucking the marshmallows.
I can't.
Sean has finally recovered from nearly dying on the air about 14 months ago. We have allowed him, he's begged us, he's begged us to be part of the 2023 Chubby Bunny World Championship because he's seeking redemption. It's a little bit like when Virginia was upset by a 16 seed. The Cavaliers were the one seed in the NCAA tournament. He talked such a big game. He thought he was going to get a dozen giant marshmallows stuffed in his cheeks like he's some kind of a squirrel or something. Nope.
One more chance. No, that's it. You're done.
Wait, please play the drop from when he's gagging. It's the funniest noise I've ever heard. I thought he was making it up, but it was legit. It was actually Sean gagging. It sounded like a bird that was dying.
What happened to double digits?
If you are, I can't.
More like sick and actually concerning we got, the more laughter ensued.
The closer Sean got to death, the harder we laughed. Jay actually had marshmallows in his mouth still, so he was trying not to spit them all up.
That didn't work.
Pete was actually doing Jay's job because Jay was here in the studio. Pete was the one cackling on the microphone. I had already spit my marshmallows out because generally I can't talk and have marshmallows in my mouth at the same time, so I'm usually bowing out early. We welcome a new contestant. He has never done it before. Pat has no idea what he's in for. None whatsoever. So it's Sean and Pat and me and then Jay, who is our defending co-champion. How many marshmallows before you spit one, you projectile vomited one across the room?
Six were in there. The seventh.
The seventh
put up a fight.
I it fought back. The seventh, it would have landed across the room, except that it was a direct hit on the microphone. It just came flying out of Jay's mouth and boom, right into the microphone.
It was a sentient marshmallow. It had a life of its own.
So good. It was so good. Anyway, Jay will attempt to defend his title. And if you win, you get the whole bag of marshmallows to take home with you.
I don't think I've had a marshmallow since last year's competition.
Not even in your hot chocolate?
I don't know. That took a lot out of me.
Mm. So, Chubby Bunny World Championship, just over 24 hours from now. Do not miss it. It will be on our YouTube channel coming up within the next few days. And in the meantime, I'll tweet and maybe share on Facebook too, the links to our former Chubby Bunny World Championships. They're all preserved on our YouTube channel if you would like to see us make absolute and total fools of ourselves. We throw dignity out the window for your entertainment. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Even as I go back and answer some of your questions from Ask Amy, we've posed a question to you. So I'd love to get the early morning audience in on the fun. Love to get the early morning audience in on the debate, I suppose. How early do you arrive at the airport for a domestic flight? That is the question on the table. I'm not sure impressed is the right word. I'm a little bit surprised at how many people go to the airport 3 hours ahead of time. I don't. Does that make me a terrible person? Maybe it does. I'm on the airport property in my parking space an hour and 15 minutes ahead of time, and this is economy parking. I have to take a shuttle. If I'm in the airport an hour ahead of time, I'm pretty comfortable. I've never missed a flight 3 hours ahead of time.
No,
no, no. What? I could have been taking a nap. No. Jay and I have decided it's more stressful to just be sitting at your gate for 2 hours to the point where the flight before your flight hasn't even taken off yet. The people sitting in the seats, they're not even on your flight. No.
I'm truly never more stressed than I'm just sitting at an airport gate. It's the worst. It's the absolute worst.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, we're asking you that. So, you ask us questions. We ask you questions. Again, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. And, yes, you will need our social media tools to be part of the Chubby Bunny World Championship. All right. It's far more competitive with the Heat and the Celtics, or at least it was last night. It wasn't far more competitive in game number three, but in game number four, a gut check moment for those Boston Celtics. They were trailing by six at the half after a Caleb Martin three early in the third quarter. They're trailing by nine. You can feel it. You can feel it in the building. You can feel it on TV, whether you were listening on the radio. This was a moment. The Celtics could either stand up and fight, or they could wave the white towel and go home, and they could be fodder for the narrative that they, in fact, did give up. Now, I will say this about them in the first half. They worked hard. They didn't work efficiently. They worked hard. There was a lot of effort in the first half. The shots weren't dropping, but also it wasn't quite as organized. They were communicating. They were encouraging each other. They were talking at every play. It seemed like Marcus Smart was talking to all his teammates the whole time. They were working. It just hadn't quite come together. Trailing by nine early in the third quarter, 3 minutes that maybe, just maybe, turned this series on its head.
Al Horford's got it. Puts in the hands of Tatum. Pretty good look. It's three. Got it.
Maybe it's that time.
Back-to-back threes for Tatum, and the Celtics are only down by three. Strus runs behind the screen. Right-hand dribble. Attacks the paint. Horford reaches in, knocks it away, and Jaylen has the steal. Jaylen running with Tatum. He's going to keep it himself and score with the left hand. The Celtics have the lead. Tatum puts it in the right hand. Past the elbow. Floats it up and in. A 13-0 run. And the Celtics try to save their season right now. They've gone from down nine to up four, 65-61 with 7:18 to go in the third. Tatum to the left side of the floor. Shot clock at 10. Cross court. Marcus Smart. He's due. Three in the air. Got it. Timeout Eric Spoelstra. A 16-0 Boston run. Marcus Smart is finally on the board. And with this thing teetering on the brink of disaster, the Celtics suddenly have their largest lead of game four.
Sean Grandy, along with Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio, he's right. Teetering on the brink of disaster. The Celtics had no choice. That was it. their season was on the line right there. And though they waited to the last possible second, they scored 18 straight points in 3 minutes. That's it. We got to see the Boston Celtics that were the second best team in the NBA. For those 3 minutes and a good chunk of the second half, the defense was locked in. It showed up. It was a sure weapon for the Celtics. If I remember correctly, in that same stretch, the Heat turned the ball over 4 consecutive possessions and probably 6 to 7 times over the course of that run. The Celtics challenged everything on defense. They were working together. They were talking. And then at the other end, the shot started dropping. 27 points off turnovers generated by that Boston defense, defense to offense. And because they were hitting their shots from deep, the Miami defense was scrambling. Couldn't keep up. Bunch of different guys around the perimeter taking the three-pointers. Tatum had 9 points in that big run, and he was locked in once again. Not Jason Taylor, but Jason Tatum. It's alter ego. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
His name is Jason Taylor.
Not that guy. Well, he was that guy in the first half. In the second half, though, 25 points. He finally scored a basket in the fourth quarter. That's the key. Miami Heat better watch out. They outscored the Heat by 30 from beyond the arc. I don't love the constant jacking up of threes, especially when they're not falling. What are you, James Harden? A team full of James Hardens. But on this night, the shots were dropping. Celtics looked like the team that they'd looked like a good portion of the season. And then when they needed it, they scored another 12 points in a row in the fourth quarter. What changed, Joe Mazzulla?
I just told him, like, you know, we can't start the quarter off not getting a 50-50 ball and just keep your poise and execution. And I thought the guys had a great awareness, too, intentionality to what we were running. You know, spacing was good and execution was good.
Today was our best defensive game. Just how we were moving, how we were rotating. You know, we tried to make guys uncomfortable. And we were just there for one another. Right? It's not going to be perfect. You're going to get beat. You're going to go for a pump fake. But, you know, it just felt like we were all connected, especially in that second half, defensively, just rotating, helping, things like that.
This team beats you by playing hard on you and knocking down those threes and open opportunities. So we have to just have to maintain our pressure, maintain that perspective, understanding that no matter what's going on, just make that extra effort. And whether that's on a we still gave up a lot of offensive rebounds tonight, which we have to get better at. And then on that side of the ball, we still have to make sure that even when we're tired, we get back and don't allow easy transition baskets, because that's how leads slip. I can remember vividly Jimmy got almost 2 dunks going to transition those last, I think, 4 minutes of play. And that can't happen if you want to succeed.
I feel like Malcolm Brogdon is the go-to Celtic right now if you need the truth, if you need honesty. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jaylen Brown, give a little pushback to those people, those narratives surrounding the Celtics' untimely demise. Now, I will say this. If you're any member of the Boston Celtics, how can you quibble with what people were saying? After game 3, you don't have a leg to stand on. You don't have a half a leg to stand on. You don't have a peg leg to stand on. Nothing. You were humiliated in game 3. But Jaylen Brown does take their success in game 4 to push back a bit.
Obviously, we underperformed in the last 3 games, and you start to hear all these stories come out about X, Y, and Z. Who knows where they actually come from? And 99% of them is not true at all. So, you know, we wanted to stay together. And I think that was the emphasis last night before we played today, was make sure we was on the same page. We didn't want to come out and lay an egg. We wanted to come out and play together. Want to come out, trust each other, come out, play some defense, have some pride about yourself, and find a way to win a game. And we all more than capable of doing it. So tonight we got it done. Smart was in my ear, let me know where the game is at. Just keep being aggressive, keep making the right plays. It ain't always got to be you putting the ball in the basket. I helped us win tonight. So just continue to make the right plays, and the game will open up for you. And that's what Smart does, is just be a leader, be vocal, and we found a way to win.
I think anytime you're in a do or die situation, it forces you to build an awareness and a perspective. And so it's always been there.
You think?
And I think just the perspective of understanding, just a week ago we had it. And so it's just, it's fragile. you know, during these times. And so we just had to remind each other of that. And I thought the guys were they were connected.
Joe Mazzulla not getting fired after game four. Might have to wait until game number five. Actually, this is what I said earlier, and I think this is critical. It's not at that point yet, because the Heat still have all the advantage in the world. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Celtics win game five in their own building. You would expect the fans would be like a game seven crowd. Game seven against the Sixers. It was, according to people that we talked to who were there, it was one of the loudest crowds they'd ever heard in Boston. And so if the Celtics would win game five and force this back to Miami, well, then there's a little different kind of a pressure. Now, here's what I would say about the Heat. They're used to pressure. In fact, according to Jimmy Butler, they like the pressure.
If anything, it'll build momentum for us, knowing that we have to play with a lot more energy. And, you know, we got to play like our backs are against the wall. But I think all year long, we've been better in the road to do things the hard way.
I love the point that he makes. We just can't take the easy road. Higher degree of difficulty, the better for the Miami Heat. And aren't there human beings, as well as teams, who generally don't respond until they've got no other choice? I readily admit I am a procrastinator, and I mean the queen of procrastinators. It's helpful, though, and I guess I fall back on this sometimes too, that I perform my best under pressure. I do my best work with a deadline. It helps me to focus more. So I guess if I'm going to be a procrastinator, at least I can come through when I have to. The Miami Heat, their chemistry, their tenacity, their fight, their toots, they take their cue from Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler likes a fight. Butler performs better when he's got no other choice.
Damn right.
That's why we've seen this team multiple times in this playoff run rally from double figures down in the second half, in the fourth quarter. They follow their leader. Jimmy Butler is their leader, and he loves to fight. So I'm not worried about the Heat. I don't think there's any reason to worry about the Heat. However, it feels a little different if Boston wins game five. Also, there's no question the Celtics can win four games in a row. That's not the issue. The issue is the Heat are playing their best basketball of the year, and you put yourself in this hole now. They didn't play, well, like I said, they worked hard in the first half. They didn't play efficiently in the first half. But it all came together in that third quarter run. 3 minutes. Did those 3 minutes and those 18 consecutive points change the series? We shall find out. One more from Bam Adebayo, because he and Jimmy Butler were minus 20, minus 25, something like that, their plus-minus number. This was not a typical Heat game. They turned the ball over a ton. They didn't make good use of their offensive possessions, and they know that.
And what doing differently, they made shots. They shot 50 from the field and 40 from three. And this is, you know, we always said the last one to get is the hardest one to get. So we knew coming into this game they was going to be desperate. and now we got to finish business in Boston.
Jimmy Butler said, we're going to win it in Boston. We're going to end the series in Boston. So we won't get a sweep in all four conference finals. Although the Dallas Stars, if they were planning on making it a series with the Golden Knights, the job got infinitely more difficult. We'll explain coming up. And back half of the hour, QB news, because we talking about practice. What are we talking about? Not a game. We talking about practice.
We ain't talking about the game. We talking about practice, man.
In May, with how many months to go until the NFL season kicks off?
Practice.
They try to dress it up and call it OTAs, but we still talking about practice.
The Health One healthcare system is proud to have been named one of the top places to work for women in the nation by Newsweek. Health One is the only healthcare provider in Colorado and one of only six organizations in the state to be recognized with this award. Thank you to all our colleagues, physicians, and volunteers for making Health One a great place to give and receive care. Learn more about our services, physicians, and locations by visiting healthonecares.com. That's healthonecares.com.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Eichel gloves down a loose puck. Needs left a shot. They score! Eichel to Marchessault. Vegas strikes first. 1 minute, 11 seconds into the first period. Watt across the line, right wing. To the left wing, a shot, score! Barbashev! Ivan Barbashev, a power play goal. 2-0 Golden Knights. Now, Bluger feeds Carrier. He scores! A backhander inside the right post. William Carrier's first goal of the postseason. The Knights take a 3-0 lead in game three. Sent out to the right by Barbashev. Petrangelo, a wrist shot, scores! Alex Petrangelo, first goal of the playoffs. 4-0 Vegas with 11:32 to go, second period.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dan Duva on Golden Knights Radio. This game between Dallas and Vegas took a drastic turn, not even 2 minutes in. And of course, the Dallas Stars still had time, but what a demoralizing moment as they lost their captain of his own accord. He was kicked out of this game, not even 2 minutes in. And instantly, the Golden Knights had a five-minute power play, were able to tack on a second goal. And from that point on, the hole was too steep. And they were doing it without their captain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't seen it, it's a moment that you can find all over the web this morning, whether social media or your favorite sports website. The NHL will weigh in very quickly, no doubt. With 1:53 gone by in the first period, Jamie Benn, a well-respected captain, a longtime Dallas Star, forechecks Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights. And as he does it, it was a relatively benign hit. It didn't even look like a direct check. It was almost to the side of Mark Stone. Mark loses his balance. And as he's falling to the ice, it's kind of awkward. He's falling onto his right side. And then it's kind of rolling over onto his back. He loses his stick. His stick goes up and over. For some reason, Jamie grabs his stick in both hands. So I guess, as Jay pointed out earlier, it's the cross-check movement, but this was not a cross-check. Stone is laying on the ice, and Ben, with a stick gripped in both hands, comes down directly onto his neck, jams his stick onto Mark Stone's neck. It wasn't an accident. There was no fight beforehand. We're talking 2 minutes into the game. Maybe there'd been a history there, but Jamie Benn's smarter than this. He understands what's at stake, and they're in Dallas. They're in Dallas for this game. They absolutely have to have it. And he loses his head. And his team loses its captain for the rest of the game. He's ejected immediately, of course. And in my opinion, he should not see the ice the rest of this postseason. However long it goes, and they may be done in game number four. They finally get the series back to Dallas. They have an opportunity to cut into this Golden Knights lead, and that's what he does to lead his team. There's no excuse for it. And again, he's very well respected. It seems out of character for Jamie Benn. I can imagine he's mortified. Even if it's not because of the hit, though, you would think. These guys have great respect for one another. Thus, the handshake lines at the end of the series, they congratulate each other. A lot of them know each other from free agency, from, of course, their competition, but also from international competitions, from all-star games. They all know one another. They all respect each other. And I hope that Jamie feels terrible for that, but also because he left his team in a huge lurch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Peter DeBoer did not excuse his captain, but you can tell how much they love Jamie by the fact that they still want to support him.
He made a mistake. He feels really badly about it. I don't think anyone in the building feels worse than he does about it. I'm not going to pile on him. He's been a leader here, you know, for his entire career, and leads by example every day on and off the ice. Made a mistake. Fortunately, Mark Stone's okay, you know, and, you know, we've got to live with the consequences, and the consequences were, you know, it was a big hole. So, but I'm not going to stand here and pile on tonight. I don't think does anybody any good.
Jamie's one of the, if not the, you know, best captain in this league and, you know, top leader. And, you know, collectively, we lost as a group tonight.
Well, that's great of Tyler Seguin to say. And sure, they still had other opportunities. But by the time that power play was done, they were in a 2-0 hole. And they're missing one of their top forwards, their leader. It's interesting to hear the response from the Vegas locker room, too, because Nick Hague said, hey, we didn't let that moment get to us.
It's no secret that everyone in here is always going to, you know, stick up for each other and we're going to have each other's backs. But what they're doing, is it's nothing we can't handle. A couple of dirty plays, I thought, and we just kind of stay out of it and focus on winning a hockey game, which is exactly what we did.
I can imagine that Bruce Cassidy, the other coaches, the leaders on the Golden Knights had that conversation, right? Don't retaliate. Don't take this personally as much as you would like to stick up for Mark Stone. Don't go out there and compound the problem and get yourself kicked out. Now, there were a couple of skirmishes. There's actually late second period, a scrumble they had to break up. Guys hit the ice and they just split them up. And I know the Stars are frustrated, of course, but 2 minutes in, I'm stunned. I was stunned when I saw it. I'm still stunned thinking about it. I don't understand what would ever possess him with a guy that's already on the ice and with your stick. You smash it into his neck. Ultimately, the Knights get the last laugh, right? Even though Dallas outshot them by 18 shots on goal. Actually, more than double the number of shots the Knights had. But it didn't matter. Vegas has the 3-0 lead, and that's how they get revenge, quote-unquote. The task becomes a lot more difficult now because there's no way the NHL lets Ben back on the ice for Game 4. And again, I don't think he should play again in this postseason, however long that lasts. It would be a stunning rally if the Stars are able to come back and win this series. I don't think he should play again. Even though it's out of character, you still have to pay for the consequences of your choice. That was a choice that he made. Also, did you see the Stars fans were chucking stuff on the ice? A couple of the Golden Knights, as they were coming out of the tunnel, nearly got pegged with stuff. Looked like food, cups, water bottles. It's kind of ugly scene in Dallas last night.
That's never a good look.
No, ugly scene all around, actually. But yes, Mark Stone is okay and is still out there playing, was still out there playing himself. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, I've answered a bunch of your questions already from Ask Amy Anything. You all have a wide variety of responses. We're asking you how early you get to the airport for a domestic flight. And the reason we were asking you this is because my brother and sister-in-law and my nieces went to Miami. They went to Hawaii on Tuesday they had a long day of travel. Their flight's at 9 o'clock in the morning from Dulles, an airport within 10 minutes of their house. For some reason, they were at the airport 3 hours ahead of time. So they're at their gate. It's not even 7 o'clock in the morning. They've got 2+ hours to go at their gate.
That was whack to me.
And then the group chat, our family group chat, I'm coming into work last night. They're exhausted. It's 6:30 in Hawaii. I would have been out on the beach. There's a sunset. Hey, let's go see what's happening. No, they're going to bed at 6:30. And I felt like writing back, well, if you didn't get to the airport at the butt crack of midnight, well, then maybe you wouldn't be quite so tired. Oh, my gosh. It's 6:30. They just got to Hawaii and they're going to bed.
All rise.
Yeah, maybe you didn't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to the airport 3 hours at a time.
Might have helped.
I didn't. Three hours? 3 hours.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I'm not sure if it's my brother or it's my sister-in-law. I don't know which one of them would be the catalyst behind that. But I can guarantee you it's not my nieces. Neither one of them.
Doubtful.
So you can find us and answer that question. Chase responds this way. My parents always taught me 2 hours. So 2 hours. All right, it's a family tradition.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not the game that I go out there and die for. And play every game like it's my last.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Ass, not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Oh, we're definitely talking about practice. NFL teams holding OTAs, organized team activities. It's just really a fancy way to say practice. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I hope your morning was made brighter, a little more entertaining, scintillating, stimulating with that iconic speech from one Allen Iverson. Funny that AI means something so different in 2023, right? All right, let's get to some QB news here as we head up toward the top of the hour on our hump show. Allen Iverson was a guy that attracted attention everywhere he went, right? That's kind of like Aaron Rodgers. Completely different reasons, but oh yes, the spotlight is white hot on Aaron Rodgers, and he's still gushing about the Jets.
Every day, I wake up excited about coming to the facility. It was surreal, for sure, and strange to look at my locker and see a number 8 or to, you know, be rocking Jets gear. It's a little bit strange, for sure, but every day there's been something that's kind of been a little special sign or synchronicity or just a cool moment that reminds me I'm in the right place.
Except he wasn't able to be on the field with his teammates for very long because he tweaked his calf in a preconditioning drill. Wasn't even practice. We're not even talking about practice It was a pre-conditioning drill. Uh-oh. You know what that means, right? O-L-D. As in dog. But he's still gushing. He's still happy. And he enjoys getting to know his much younger teammates.
Been fun to interact with these guys, get to know them a little bit, to get my number out there so I get text messages from them and meetups and hangouts. Obviously, the first couple weeks we're here, we got to, with all the New York teams and the playoffs, we got to do a couple fun things with that. Part of the role of leadership, part of the role of being the old guy in the room. And I love that, and I love getting to know these guys, where they're from, and what makes them tick, because that's how you understand how to push those buttons in the right way to inspire guys.
I joke around that he's closer to a coach than he is a player at this point in his career. He's a fantastic mind. He's a fantastic conversation. So it's been all positive.
Robert Sala gushing the way Aaron Rodgers is gushing. He's like a coach on the field. That also could be a reference to his AGE. Let's face it, there are plenty of old jokes now that you can make.
I think I'll be able to throw pretty good to about 60 or 70.
Please don't. Please don't. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I asked this question of producer Jay during the break. It's kind of a rhetorical one that's fun to throw out there. Who has more wins this upcoming season? Is it the Jets or is it the Jaguars? Do the Jaguars have more wins than the Jets in 2023? They might, by virtue of the fact that the AFC South is, I would say, far more wide open than the AFC East is a buzzsaw. And because Trevor Lawrence has got now 2 years under his belt, but a second year as he goes into it with Doug Peterson can only be a positive. And don't forget, they've added Calvin Ridley to the mix.
It's just being on the same page with Trevor. You know, he's done a great job in the classroom, been able to take that, you know, out to the field and the work he's getting done. And we just want to see that continue, you know, and just continue to develop. We're not game planning or scheming or all that. We're just continuing to, you know, install. And he's done a nice job, you know, handling all the information.
He was very receptive. And that's the one thing about Trevor. His maturity level is off the charts. So you're able to sit down and say, here's what we see. Here's what we need to improve on. He generally has the same notes for the most part. We'll ask, what are your thoughts? And he kind of says the same thing we're tracking. So that's very encouraging for us as a coaching staff to kind of already see the same things, want to improve on the same things, whether that's fundamentals with him or schematics in terms of our whole offense.
I guess gushing is really the theme for this edition of QB News here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio. I like it. Of course, they're running routes on air, right? The quarterbacks are wearing red jerseys, so... Yes, it's all very cerebral in May. No one's getting hit. Well, sometimes no one gets hit, even in games. Quarterbacks wrapped in the old bubble wrap. But I am excited to see what the Jaguars can do on top of how they finished last year and won the AFC South. NFC South has got a whole new group of quarterbacks. Number one overall, Bryce Young. Don't know how quickly he starts. They've also got a new head coach in Frank Reich. And Bryce is just now going through his first reps in a real NFL practice.
It was a lot of fun. Just being able to compete, us fly around a little bit, this being the first time that, you know, we were against the defense, and being able to go and play fast and go at a, you know, at a full speed tempo was great. You know, obviously last week it was against the coaches and walking through stuff, but being able to take the meeting room out into the practice field, you know, it was a lot of fun. So, you know, a lot of competition, you know, a lot of, you know, us getting after it. So it was a fun day.
It was 10 out of 10. I mean, you know, just, and so were the other guys, but just complete command, control, poise. You could tell the way he was seeing it, the way working through progressions, accuracy in the throw, ball placement of the throw. It was all very good.
Frank Reich is going to be a huge step up. A little bit like Doug Peterson was for the Jaguars, Frank Reich will be for the Carolina Panthers. And I know the guys really love Steve Wilks, but they've got Frank now, and he brings experience. He brings winning experience, a credibility right into that locker room. Plus, he's a former QB, so he understands what Bryce Young is facing. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Corral missed all of his rookie season after he was drafted. Now, this was going back to Matt Rhule, right? So not Frank Reich and not Steve Wilks, but Matt Corral missed his entire rookie year. He would have played because Baker didn't work. Sam didn't work. It would have been Matt Corral's job. But instead, he wasn't able to get out there. And that was tough for him to sit back and watch.
It was a rough year, a long one at that, to say the least. But, you know, you got to have perspective, and it's all about controlling what you can control. And honestly, that's what's made me happy. You know, getting another opportunity to be here and play for the Carolina Panthers is, you know, I'm blessed, and I'm really happy to be in this position to get another opportunity. And you know, I'm in it for the long haul. When that opportunity comes, I'll be ready.
Remember, he suffered his season-ending injury during the preseason, actually. He was out. Was it Liz Frank? Is that what it was? He was out during the preseason, and so he knew he was going to miss the entire year and then had to watch them struggle at QB. Right now, he's listed as number three on the depth chart behind Bryce and then Andy Dalton, who was brought in. To hear Frank Reich talk about it, though, this is important to have all three guys in camp.
The decision to go to three was to, you know, get Matt more reps at this point, get a good look at Matt. You know, Scott and I have talked about this. We may bring a fourth in for training camp. We'll decide that then. Probably, you know, we'll make that decision as we get closer. And probably would likely do that. But right now, it's a chance for Matt to get more reps.
Carolina Panthers should be fun to watch. A lot of changes in the entire division, so it's wide open. NFC West, well, they're not sure who the quarterback is going to be for the San Francisco 49ers, but great news about Brock Purdy, who had the elbow surgery in March.
He's doing good. Still staying the same. Yep, on schedule. I think he's allowed to throw sometime next week. Only God knows, and it's all estimates, so it depends what quote people have got for me. But, I mean, we're hoping for week one, and I feel pretty optimistic about that. That's what we're hoping for. He'll be ready to play in week one, and usually that doesn't mean that's the day he comes back. Usually you got to come before that to make that goal, and that's kind of the goal we're hoping for, and don't have any reason to think differently.
I just try to focus on where I'm at right now, and for me it's get my arm healthy. You know, to say all these things and say you want to be this kind of guy or that kind of guy of the team, I think that's just in a sense foolish, just to for myself to think like that. Like for me, I come into work every day trying to get my arm right, try to be around the guys and do what it takes to win.
Brock Purdy labeled the leader in the clubhouse, but if he's not ready, I mean, Trey Lance is working hard and is just hoping for another chance.
My opportunity is just to come in to compete, and that's all I wanted. So for me, I don't want to take anything away from Brock, and no one should be able to take anything away from Brock. He did what he did last year, and he deserves all the credit in the world for it. Like I said, for me, I just wanted an opportunity to compete.
We're talking about practice, and yet it's NFL quarterbacks, which means we can't stay away. We're obsessed.
I mean, how silly is that? I mean, we're talking about practice.
Now, this time tomorrow, we will already have a brand new After Hours Chubby Bunny World Champion. Don't miss it. 5:20 a.m. Eastern Time, 2:20 Pacific. On our Thursday morning show, we'll have more from practice. No basketball tonight, but there is hockey. In fact, the Florida Panthers can close out the Carolina Hurricanes in a sweep. And maybe the Blue Jays will put another 20 runs up on the Tampa Bay Rays, or we'll have another Aaron Judge home run. He seems to be locked in right now, too. So a lot to talk about when we reconvene. Survive your hump day. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You're in a 5-minute break. Four minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Minutes remaining. Four minutes remaining. 3 minutes, 30 seconds remaining. Minutes remaining. It's 30 seconds remaining. Minutes remaining. Minute, 30 seconds remaining. Minute remaining. Forty-five seconds remaining. Seconds remaining. 15 seconds. 5 seconds.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing, help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.